At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Messy & Co. I am Ashley, here with my great co-host, Gian, live for a what is going to, I imagine, be a very interesting, tense, or maybe not tense, I don't know what the word is, like, intense
there's just a lot to unpack. There's a lot to unpack, and I'm sure that emotions might be running high. People are going to be very opinionated on what happened yesterday, what didn't happen. So it'll be, I think it'll be an interesting live and it'll be fun to see what everybody thinks. But yeah.
Yeah. And so yeah, we're here live to obviously go over last night's match where Inter Miami lost by 1-1 to Monterrey after a game where Messi did not play, after there was a lot of maybe speculation and sources and reports saying he would. He did not end up playing. They say he's towards the end of his rehab and they didn't want to risk it. So that's definitely something we're going to have to go into. But, you know, the game had a lot of ebbs and flows, a lot of highlight and low light moments for Inter Miami. And when it's all said and done, the fact of the matter is that we're 1-1 down. They scored 2 away goals, and we have to go play next Wednesday in Monterrey in what will be an incredibly, incredibly difficult game. Maybe with Messi, maybe without. But, yeah, a lot of thoughts, a lot of things to discuss, a lot of people who are angry about certain things, less angry about others, maybe resigned to the fate of – the fact that Messi is 36 and has a lot of miles on, and maybe his, I don't want to say his excitement because I don't think he's that kind of guy, but just maybe the miles on him are just reaching a point where he can't play through stuff as much as he used to, and that Inter Miami is going to get, unfortunately, the short end of that stick, which is that he just isn't as available as we would have hoped. So with all of that said, Gian, we were both at the game last night, obviously, and it was a really good environment. It was fun. It was interesting. The game had a lot of ups and downs. But what are just your overall thoughts about Messi not playing, about the scoreline, how everything went down? You know, start there.
I'll say that whereas I'm not necessarily the biggest, like, fan of the strategy that strategy yesterday for how he managed that game, I maybe would have done it a bit different, but still it was working, right? We had the one.
Yeah, we kind of differ on that. I thought it was okay. I just think that some things were out of his control.
But we were up by 1-1, so I can't complain too much there. Obviously, there's a big difference when you're playing against one of the best teams in Mexico, one of the top offensive teams in CONCACAF Champions Cup, and then you have kind of a boneheaded move there by one of the youngsters that leaves you with 10 men and just completely messes up your strategy and messes up how you have to manage the game. But until then, he was getting the job done. Thought that was up 1-0. And then as soon as David Ruiz gets his second yellow, gets his red, something that definitely could have been avoided. It was definitely an unnecessary, unnatural move that he does. I mean, it was also sold very well to the referee because it was very like light. It was a push up, and then the hand I think barely grazes the forehead, and you know, the Mexican player basically acted like he had a concussion. And then as soon as
players would have done the same thing.
Then the second I don't, but I'm saying that's he sold it to the referee. And then I think within like 3 minutes that first goal comes, that tying goal. So I think that We were good. I liked what I saw from Inter Miami. I think that everybody was playing well. I think that quite unfortunate for us to get that result at home, where anytime you play at home in a tournament that requires two legs, one at home and one away, and you're starting at home, you want to make sure that you come out with that win. So next game over there in Monterrey is going to be really difficult, probably the most difficult game Inter Miami has ever played. And I think that it's really going to be, it's all going to be on whether Messi plays or not. I think that's the only, yeah. I think that's really the only way that we come out winning here is if Messi plays. And, but yeah, there's just a lot of things to talk about. There's, you know, talking, we can get more into, as this live goes along, we can get more into Messi missing and what that really means. Was it surprising? How bad is the injury? Does Inter Miami kind of have to look at its future differently now, knowing that, you know, Messi might be missing more games than we thought? And then just things like David Ruiz, the youngster, getting a red card. We've got Robert Taylor getting injured. We have Tata Martino making some comments that I wanted to talk about in post game, that were some comments that I didn't sit well with me. I kind of wanted to talk about some of those. And then, I don't know, this was kind of on the news as well, but I don't know if you guys know, but Tano Ortiz, the coach from Monterrey, had some not so professional comments that he made before the game. There were things that Tata Martino and Messi kind of took offense to. And then they actually went out towards, after the game, they actually went up to the ref. And then they also confronted Tano Ortiz and some other players in the dressing rooms. And there was an altercation there, just verbal, nothing physical. And there's some things that have come out of that I kind of want to talk to as well. But there's a lot to unpack.
A lot to unpack. And I think we should get to some of the comments, because we see a lot of really good comments coming in. Look, the first thing that we have to, there's a lot of things to address, but the first one is that Messi is getting hurt a lot. And, you know, it's easy to look now. I mean, hindsight is 2020, but God, I can't think of another. How many things are we going to say about how ridiculous that preseason was for this? Because, you know, to say he wouldn't still have this issue with the hamstring is not fair to say, because he probably would. But it just, all of the unnecessary strain and time and energy that this team had to go through before we had the opening kick of the season, and the volume of games we've had, the travel we've had, it's been hard. And knowing what we know, knowing that Messi is going to go play in Copa America, like, there's just no other way. It seems like it's a very disappointing beginning and situation this season, where a lot of people understandably are getting pretty frustrated with the Inter Miami organization, with the fact that they keep being very close-lipped about his status and the extent of his injuries. And look, it's on MLS and it's on these governing bodies to make the rules more strict. If you want more honest answers about injuries, look, we've seen it happen in NBA, NFL. Like, they don't want it that, you know, Inter Miami don't want to say that Messi's going to be out for a month. They don't want to say that if they don't have to, because it affects competition. It affects how the other teams prepare. And it affects ticket sales. Like, let's not beat around the bush. It affects ticket sales. They invested a lot of money in him and a lot of money in the other players. And the fact that he's missing so many games, knowing he's going to be missing a huge chunk for Copa America, it's like worst case scenario to start the season. So it's tough to see, and it's you know, it's a shame. Obviously, though, you know, we can't blame last night's performance on the fact that Messi didn't play, because I think that Tata had a great game plan for last night, and it wasn't fun, and it wasn't, you know, what you would want to do when you have a big side coming to play you in a difficult game. But knowing what he knew about who was available and the, you know, the depleted roster, the injuries, the availability, and the fact that hopefully Messi will be available for the second leg next week, I'm sure the plan was to try to either win 1-0 or to draw and give themselves a chance next week. The game plan worked. The defensive structure was the best defense I've ever seen Inter Miami play the first 60 minutes. The most organized, compact, disciplined defense. And then David Ruiz with one of the worst 5 minutes I've seen in such a high-pressure game in a long time, because the first yellow card was avoidable. But even after that, and we said it to each other too, we're like, he's going to get another yellow and he's going to get it quickly. Just not understanding the situation, not appreciating the fact that this is an elimination tournament, that this isn't like MLS. There isn't 60 more games. You don't need to be the hero. You're winning. Just relax, relax. And he didn't. And should Tata have maybe tried and taken him out in that first 5 minutes after he got the yellow card? Maybe. But did Tata think he was going to get two yellow cards within 5 minutes? Probably not. So it's like, you know, it's difficult because in the end, Inter Miami did enough to get a result and give themselves a chance in the second leg. But things were out of their control, very unlucky circumstances, ill-disciplined. And it leads to a moment now where we're saying Messi is not playing. The team is not performing well on any of the competition stages. Fans are angry. What are we going to do?
So I just going back to what I said, I think that when you play at home, I think it's important for you to be the commanding team on the field. I think it's important for you to take the initiative and go out and look for the win. And that's why for me, it wasn't something that I very much enjoyed to see Tata come out and play a 4-5-1. Basically, where he's got five in the midfield. He had Gressel and Robert Taylor, until Robert Taylor got injured, playing all in the midfield, and he had Suarez up top by himself. I think he showed too much respect, way too much respect to Monterrey. I think that him allowing them to have possession of the ball was, you know, not the most ideal. I think that you want to come out and put pressure on them early and go and try to look for the goals, try to be aggressive, try to get 2-3 goals at home, knowing that you want to head over and go into play into Monterrey with a comfortable lead with 2 goals up, maybe 3, I don't know, as opposed to going and just, you know, giving them the ball and being dominated. And again, I don't go too hard into Tata because I understand that it was working like that. You know, it's different. Like, we were up 1-0, but it's not.
And we also missed a few sitters again where we didn't finish that, where we really could have been up 2-0 before the red card happened.
And but that's also just because of the fact that Messi wasn't up there, and the guys that were up there weren't necessarily the ones that typically finish those types of plays. Like, for example, there was a one play where Suarez had the ball and he does a 1-2 pass with Gressel. Gressel gives Suarez the ball. Suarez touches it back to Gressel. Gressel ends up with a bad touch, plays it too far ahead of him, and he doesn't. I mean, if he would have played it right, he would have had a 1-on-1 versus the goalie. But he plays it too long. The defender catches up, and then it just didn't work. And then the second one that was really pretty clear was where Gomez gets the ball, puts a nice through ball right into the area for Ruiz. And Ruiz does the same thing. He lets it go. He kind of jumps over the ball. He lets the ball go too long, and then defender ends up sweeping the ball from under him. And those are just things that if that was Robert Taylor, if that was Messi, I think those are ended up in goals. So I think that for Tata, I think that was difficult to not have those offensive guys to be able to finish those plays. But so to me, like I said, I'm not a fan of that. I think you need to go out and look for the game. But to his credit, he was up 1-0, and then this thing happens with David Ruiz. Yeah. But I think that from then on, like, some of the things that Tata said in his comments was, like, he said, okay, like, when we went out to start this game, I knew that we were going to be dominated by Monterrey. Yeah. Like, his whole plan was from the beginning to give possession to Monterrey and just be dominated and try to fight out.
Yeah, but Gian, we didn't have Messi. Like, was the alternative? Us trying to be aggressive and lose 4-0?
No, why would we lose 4-0 because we're aggressive? 4-0 because we're aggressive. Like, that's the whole problem with this team, and it's so annoying. Like, this team cannot predicate everything it does on Messi. Like, we need to understand Messi is not going to be playing a lot of the games. this, not every team in MLS doesn't have Messi. We're the only team that has Messi. Like, you can't.
I know, but
you,
the other teams like have rosters built.
But so
to
we
be
had
more
a
balanced.
Roster. We had a good roster too. What do you mean? Like, well, you can't.
We did have a good roster. Yeah, but not compared to Monterrey. Like, we have a good roster, but our, and it was a great point someone made. Like, when you looked at the and this, I want to bring this up really quickly, just like to counter you a little bit. Like, there was a tweet, and I don't have it in front of me, but basically it was saying that our bench, like the players that we subbed in, average a salary of $60,000 a year.
That's because of injuries. That's because of injuries. That is that doesn't add context. And I thought I saw that tweet too. I'm sorry, but that tweet doesn't add context to anything. You're talking about you had
Santos. But it adds context to last night's game, which is why he played the way he did. If he didn't have injuries, he wouldn't have played that way.
No, because those people were on the bench. He had the team that he had on the field was enough to compete against Monterrey, and it's such a mental issue. I swear, it is such a mental issue for Tata and whoever else is on there that the moment Messi isn't available, it's like, okay, we're not good enough to go against Monterrey. Yeah, you are. Like, you have in the back, you have Alba, who is a freaking all-star from Barcelona. You spent money on Toto to bring in Toto Aviles and Freire. You spent money to bring in Chelo Wenga from Boca Juniors,
stunning.
Who's playing very well. You have one of the best goalies in MLS, in my opinion, in calendar. You have Busquets, who is, I mean, I don't even need to describe Busquets. You have Diego Gomez, who is a phenom, amazing for Paraguay. He's freaking balling up. And then up top, you have Suarez, one of the best nines in the history of soccer. You have Gressel, who is a proven vet, who is an MLS champion. You have Robert Taylor, who his attacking skill set is really good. He can create his own shots. He can take you off the dribble. He can do, like, the only difference there was, again, it's not the only difference, as if Messi isn't, but you look at that squad and you have enough to compete. I'm sorry, but if whoever watched the game yesterday and looked at Monterrey, they didn't look as scary as we thought they were going to be. Agreed. At all. They didn't.
Agreed. Okay, so agreed.
We need to go out and try to score, not just sit back. Like, I don't know. I don't know how everybody else feels about it, but that's how I feel about it, man.
I also think that's hindsight.
It's
like,
mental.
Well,
out.
Here's the thing.
God.
What if Ruiz didn't come out, and what if we won 1-0 or 2-0? Like, if we did that, Ruiz didn't make that mistake and we won, would you be saying the same thing about this formation, or would you have been like, wow, Tata was right on this one?
No, I would have said the same thing about the formation, because I don't like that. But I wouldn't complain, I'm not, the point I'm trying to make is I'm not complaining, because I understand that we could have still won. And if the whole David Ruiz fiasco didn't happen and he got the red, that's why I wouldn't have criticized. I'm just simply talking about, I think I've seen other coaches, when you play at home, you don't give up possession to Monterrey. And what I'm fighting back is the whole notion of, oh, it's okay to give possession to Monterrey and just wait for them to attack you and try to play out of transition, because we don't have Messi. Like, that's like a BS excuse. So we don't have Messi. You still have a good team. Like, oh, we suck because we don't have Messi. And if Messi doesn't play, you need to play defensive and you play with one striker up front every game until Messi comes back and the other team gets to attack us as much as they want, because we don't have Messi. Like,
well, I think for other games, I agree with you. I think I don't think you're giving enough credit to Monterrey. And I don't think they looked good last night, but like, before last night, like, I mean, they're an absolute juggernaut and powerhouse. They're the best team in this continent, like in this side of these three countries. Like, they're the best team. So I understand what you're saying. And Tata needs to figure out how to win without Messi, 100%. I think
that's
that,
my main point. What you just said.
And I think that there's more of an argument for that when it was the two New York games we just played, or Montreal, for example, are games we should have won and that we are easily good enough to win, and that it was poor tactics and poor personnel. I think last night it's hard. I just think that, and look, I'm the one who's normally pretty harsh on Tata. I just think that I can understand why it ended up being how it was. It didn't work out. Here's a comment I want to talk about though. And this is something that's these comments are going too quickly. Everyone's saying so much. This is the comment I meant to put up. So here, let me tell you something. Let's erase the game last night, okay? Like, let's say you didn't watch it and you didn't see the claps and you didn't, you know, Davaruz, let's say all those things didn't happen. And I just said to you, in the end, it was a close game. We had good points. They had good points. We lost 1-0. Next week, we're taking David Ruiz out of the lineup and we're adding Messi. But it was pretty close. What would you say? Would you? I know you wouldn't be, you'd still be nervous. But if I were to just saying that to you blind, maybe there's a little chance. Okay, that's not too bad. Like, so you're saying they didn't dominate us all game. No, no, no. They didn't dominate us all game. In fact, we had some really good chances, just didn't finish. Okay, but we didn't have Messi. No, we didn't have Messi. Oh, someone got hurt. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Someone got hurt. Oh, but next week you will have Messi. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the person who didn't play well, he's not going to play, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, so now what? You know what I'm saying? Like, let's – not all hope is lost. It's not like we lost 3-0. It's going to be incredibly difficult. But it's 1-0. That's all it is.
So I don't think – I think Inter Miami played a good game yesterday. I really do. I think whether I disagree or agree with the approach, whatever. I'll give Tata the merit that he deserves. Where he had Inter Miami playing a good game. We could have won that game. And I think that now, I think these teams are more evenly matched than I thought they would be.
Yeah, that's what I learned too. I'm disappointed, but I learned that they're a lot more even. And I feel, like I said, if Messi comes, I have a little bit more hope than I would have had if we got this result last night and Messi did play. That's all I'll say.
But you know what the biggest problem is, though? It's the two goals they scored. That makes it, because we can't, now we have to win by, I believe, at least two goals. Like, if 1-0 doesn't, we don't win. Right. If we win 1-0, they pass. If we win 2-0, it's what is it? It's three, they still win. If we win 3-1, why?
If we win 2-0,
yeah.
Why would they still win?
No, they would. We win. Sorry, we win 2-0. So the 2-0 works. The 1-0 doesn't. 2-1. It's even. So I'm just trying to think of some of the scores that it would take for us to win.
Saying. Is 2-0 or 2-1 not? I think 2-1. And Messi plays is an incredibly realistic scoreline. Difficult, but incredibly realistic.
2-0, 2-1 are the two that are realistic that can get us through.
That last night, and I want us to say that look, that there are certain things that I do think are important that we think about and that we understand, and that Inter Miami and Tata are going to have to start making some changes to not make every game dependent on Messi. But with all that said, with how everything that could have gone wrong almost went wrong yesterday, the cards stacked against us, X, Y, and Z. Okay, we're going into next Wednesday. I'd say maybe it's like 35-65. 35 us, like, you know, winning or having a chance, 65 not, which isn't great, but it's better than 90-10 or, you know, 80-15. You know what I mean? Like, I still feel like I'm still excited for the game. I'm hopeful Messi's back and we have a chance. That's all I can think about. Go ahead.
I was going to mention, I think that it's important to also note that whatever we did in this game, like as far as strategy, that's out the door for next game. You have to go out and look for the game. That's going to be interesting to see now. How Monterrey plays it. I feel like Monterrey is going to do the opposite of what Miami did. I don't think Monterrey is going to do like we did and sit back and just, you know, give Inter possession of the ball. I think they're going to go out and look to put it away early, which could be good or bad, because if we're able to maintain that attack next game in Monterrey, that should open up some spaces for Inter Miami to attack. We'll see with that. I just know that they're not going to be able to do that 4-5-1 that they did here at Chase Stadium. They're going to have to go out and really be very
good. Very and if you have Messi, and if I see a front three of what I imagine is going to be Messi, Suarez, and Gomez, then I feel better.
Or who knows? Or Alfonso. Maybe you see a. Even though I don't know, it just depends how attacking he wants to be. But you can always do Campana and Suarez also.
I also, on that point, I think it's what I am not happy about with Tata, because like I said, I think last night, I think it was actually a good, it was a good plan with the personnel he had, unexpected. And for the most, for the first 65 minutes did exactly what he wanted. And, you know, he didn't get two yellow cards himself, right? That wasn't him. He can't be in David Ruiz's head. Yeah. He didn't expect Robert Taylor to get injured and have to make that substitution. Like, those things were out of his control. However, I think it's very unlucky that for these last two games, Leo Campana has gotten 0 minutes. Because what the team has needed in these last 20 minutes of these games is they've needed fresh legs and inspiration and desire. Because Luis Suarez, who has been creating good chances, good opportunities, doing well, missed a couple that you know you wish he had made, but hasn't done anything in particularly wrong, still needed someone. They needed more energy and fresh body and fresh legs and movement and something to scare the defense. And Campana could have provided it. And I think it's really unlucky that he hasn't gotten a chance in the last two games. And part of me is starting to wonder why, because he's shown time and time again that he can score and that he is persistent. And that's what we needed. Here's a comment by Carlos. Why is Campana in Tata's doghouse? I want to know that too, because I think it's weird. It's especially against New York City FC, where there was zero reason to play Suarez on 90 minutes. Absolutely zero reason. For him not to come in seems weird. It just does. I don't know.
Well, according to Tata, one of the reasons he didn't put him in last game, when he didn't take Suarez out, is because, or not that necessarily, I don't know if it was that he didn't want to take Suarez out or he didn't want to play them both at the same time, but he basically didn't want to take out one of his wingers, is what he didn't want to do, because he said, if I take out one of my wingers and I put Campana in, who's going to get the ball to Campana? I need my wingers. That's basically what he said in one of those. I don't know if somebody asked him.
I think
him
he said that for New York City. I know what you're talking about. I think he said that. Yeah. But then switch him for Campana. Then switch them. Then take Suarez out, because you don't need him to play 90 minutes against New York City FC. And then look, you know, I mean, to say that you don't think that any of them were tired yesterday, I think would be
Think that that's probably one of the things yesterday thinking about it. In post-game, Tata had mentioned about how, because of the fact that they were basically getting dominated on possession, there was a lot of coverage that they had to do, and they were, you know, basically running around everywhere trying to, you know, cover the ball, that they were basically tired, that they were gassed, especially playing down 10 men, that they were gassed and without legs the last 20 minutes, which I thought was interesting, because
if only they had fresh legs to substitute in.
Yeah, I was basically, you're the one that can that's your decision. Like,
and we had two unused subs again.
So I'm not sure why you were complaining about not having fresh legs, when it's basically you're the only one that can change that. You're the only one that can make the substitutions. And at that point, it made sense when you're maybe, you know, you get scored on 3 minutes after David Ruiz goes out with the red card. Maybe that's when you take out, where there's 20 minutes left, you take out Suarez, you put Campana in, and Campana, you're still going to have the attacking presence, but you're going to have way more on the defensive end, because he's going to be, he runs more, he's more active. And that would have been, to me, the more natural thing. I don't know why he didn't make that move. The only thing I'm thinking of is he knows that Suarez might not do anything on that end, but he'll, in one or two plays, he can score for you at any given moment. That's
the
only.
How about for Gomez or for someone else? Who, there was a lot of yellow cards we had, and because of that, like, look, the second goal was, and I think Gomez played a great game and worked his ass off. But the moment
at KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
He made a mistake because he was too tired. And so he made the mistake, and that's how they scored the goal. And there's no other way to say it but that. And it's not a fair... It's not a criticism to say that he cost the game, because he didn't, but there were, you know, he was one of the examples of we couldn't get out from the back because everyone was just so exhausted. Well, then put someone fresh in. Put in Sunderland. Yeah. Put in someone. Like, you know, it's to go have two unused subs is crazy to me.
Yeah, I didn't understand that. And then we've seen that before. We've seen some of the subs that, you know, sometimes the lack of subs and being able to adapt, I think, throughout the game, that's something that we've seen kind of be a little frustrating with Tata. I thought it was also kind of it was kind of frustrating, too, that he puts in Santos and he had to take him out as well. Like, I think that also changed the dynamic of the game, having to take out another attacking presence. Because Santos was doing good, I think. I think he that first game that he had, was it against New York City? Was that his first game, I think? No, it was a previous one. Where he got subbed
he's
in.
He's great, though. I agree.
He's been doing really good. He's been doing really good, and it just stinks that that opportunity was taken away from him. He only got a few minutes, but he was doing good. But, you know, it just totally changes the game when you go down 10 men. He was already giving possession to Monterrey,
yeah.
but they were being successful, which is I think you mentioned it earlier on, and I just want to mention it for those who maybe are just joining. Man, we've tried that in the past where we would kind of give up some possession, and because of the defense, we just weren't able to do that because we'd get killed on defense. This defense looked so good.
So good. That back four, the silver lining from last night is that this back four is perfect, and it's exactly what we need. And if other circumstances were different, like, I'd feel very good about the fact that we have that. But, you know, Robert Taylor, that injury, and I saw it the moment it happened to, and it took him another 5 or 10 minutes before he came out. But when he pulled his leg, like, I saw it, and I saw him running really labored after, and I was like, damn, that really sucks. And also, you know, I see comments about, like, well, who would you have put in his place? Like, who could they take out? The rest of the team was not at the quality. Campana is at the quality, though, where he could play in this type of game. Who you choose to take him out for could have been Gressel, and then you move to a 4-4-2. Could have been, you know, it could have been Gomez. Like, and I understand the trepidation of it, but Campana is a quality and caliber player who would come in and who still adds to the team. It's not Sunderland or Noah Allen or someone where you may be like, oh, well, it's not worth the risk of the fresh legs because they're not good enough. Campana is good enough. And so that's what, you know, for everything else, that is what makes me. Yeah, no, I agree with that comment that I would choose Gomez over Sunderland. Agreed. But I don't know if I would choose Gomez and Gressel being completely gassed and Busquets being completely gassed, all three of them completely gassed. I don't think you're telling me not one of them could have been changed for Campana and you do a 4-4-2 for the last 10 minutes or even for Suarez. Like, I just think that it's not like he's a bad player. You know, it's not like you're diminishing your team for him. I think hindsight's 20/20, and in those last 10 minutes when everyone was so tired, you needed one more change. You needed one more ability to just get some more movement because Monterrey were like smelled blood and they knew what they were doing.
None of those goals yesterday were on the defense.
Not at all.
Played very well. It was that. There was this goal, which I wouldn't put that necessarily on Aviles, though. It was more on Gomez. I think Gomez didn't control the ball well. That was on him. He just he had the ball right on his feet.
Off of that Aviles pass. It would have been a 4-4-2. Sorry, right? It would have been a 3-4-2. But sorry, keep going.
So I wouldn't put that on Aviles. I think that was Gomez's fault. Gomez didn't.
No, I think Aviles had a good game. I think he was very composed.
And then that other goal, I was looking at the replay, the one that bounces off of Busquets heads it towards Callender. Callender deflects it, that first one, and then Mesa scores it. I think that the more I look at it, I don't think Busquets even saw the ball. I think Busquets had his head, and I feel like unless he tried to head it and it just went the wrong way, but it almost seems like he wasn't expecting the ball. Because two players jumped right in front of him.
Yeah, it was unlucky.
But that was just really unlucky. I don't think there's much you could have done.
Both goals were unlucky because the initial action was right? Like the initial one for that one, it would have been a well-defended corner. Like Busquets was in the right place to head it away. it was it had a, you know, a freak touch. And then the second one, we had the opportunity to clear it, and Gomez had made a mistake with his touch. So to your point, I don't think they weren't defensive faults, but they were still situations created because, you know, all these other factors led to what happened. But
I wonder, well, how do you guys feel about the defense? Because I know that the defense has been basically the talk over the last few games. How did you guys feel, especially now that you have Chelo and you're back to that two center back position? Those two center backs.
Tell you what, I love Chelo.
Yeah, no, Chelo was playing.
And Freire played great too. He didn't play like someone who's been injured. So I was very happy with his performance.
Yeah. Are you guys still worried about Miami's defense or no?
Yeah, let us know in the comments.
I'm curious because I honestly, since Chelo arrived and we're back to the two center backs instead of three, I think this team has looked a lot better.
Do you think, obviously we're going to do a preview for the game on Saturday, but just out of curiosity, do you think that Messi is going to play on Saturday in the end? Like, do 20
Messi's
minutes?
Going to play? Wait, is he going to play against Colorado or is he going to play against Monterrey?
Colorado. Like, do you think he's going to be a sub for Colorado? Because I really don't think they're going to make his first game back after 5 weeks be in Monterrey. Like, that would surprise me.
Yeah, I don't think Messi's playing. But at the end of the day, I'm almost at the point where I'm just tired of even guessing. Like, I really don't think anybody knows. I don't think anybody knows at this point.
Agreed with this comment by Carlos. I was worried about the Yedlin trade, but Chelo has been an amazing upgrade. I wish we had him 2 weeks sooner, but agreed. He's been fantastic. Tony saying Def looks promising, but we won't have this back for many games. I don't know. I think the plan is going to always believe is always going to be to have the back four if possible. I think sometimes when circumstances or injuries change, maybe not. But
I don't think you ever intentionally see a three center backs ever again, unless it's a case like
Black story. I hope so.
Yeah. I think unless it's a case like yesterday where he had to go with three center backs because of the red card. But I really don't think you ever see.
Yeah. The defense was great. The setup was great. I think if it was a different circumstance and, like, you know, I know we keep saying if Messi was there, but like, this team is built because Messi is supposed to be there. I know he can't play every game. I know we still have enough good players where we should be okay without it. But all of that to say, the midfielders, the wingers, everything is still built for Messi to play. So in a situation where, like, if we had Messi playing, like, I think the back four was great. If we had Redondo, I think our midfield three is solid. Gressel has been good this year. I still wish, like, I think he, like, I'd say his overall game to game, I feel like he's like an A- to B+. And I just wish he was like always an A+, because I think he does add a lot of value. I think there just still are moments in the game where I'm like, oh, a little more composure, a little faster, a little better decision. But he puts himself in such good situations. I think the back four and the construction of the team is right and is beneficial. It's just how can we bounce back? And look, we just found out today we got $150,000 in general allocation money and an international roster spot. Do we think Rojas is going to come? Do we think we're going to see a new winger added because, you know, the team needs it? Is Kramaski coming back this weekend? Is Negri coming back this weekend? Like, I don't know. Like, as always,
and
a lot
the
of
heck
unknowns.
Is Frey?
Yeah.
But Sailor. I think that he is. I actually feel more comfortable with Sailor than Christoph.
100% agree.
And Sailor looks good. Last game.
I think he's the third option. I think it's Freire and Aviles unless. Yeah. You know, unless something drastic changes. And then I think it's Sailor before Christoph and before Noah Allen too. I think Sailor does a good job. He doesn't get enough playing time where I think he can become so
Sailor
confident.
Sailor is the third option. You're good. I mean, unless there's an injury, he's not going to be your starter. But I think that right now that's where the depth is missing. Like as far as defense, the depth is missing at the center back position in defense because on the left side, obviously you have Alba, and then right behind him is Negri, and it looks like he's almost ready to be with the first team. He played a game with IMCF2, so he looks like he'll be ready. And then on the right side for Chelo, it's going to be Ian Frey. But then behind the center backs, again, it's Saylor. I think you need one more. That needs to be better. Let's see.
I see a couple questions and a couple comments about Farias. Facundo Farias is out for the year when he tore his ACL or his Achilles. No, ACL. He tore his ACL during the first preseason game in El Salvador, and he's out for the season. He won't be back at all. He hopefully will be back for next season in 2025. So a huge, obviously, another thing, hindsight 2020, like, how different would we be if we had Farias from game one? You know, what would this look like now? How different would it be if we had every game Suarez, Farias, and Messi starting? Like, yeah, and Redondo, Busquets, and Gomez. Yeah, things would be different.
No, of course. And even imagine if for this game, if Messi wasn't around, but then you had instead of Gressel on the right, you had Taylor and Farias on the left. Like, that would have looked completely different too. And I really think that... Tell me what you think. I think that this, the way he played that 4-5-1, or he probably would have attacked more if he had Messi. He definitely.
I would hope so.
he would have looked like I don't think that they would have been as defensive.
Of course,
still, that's still not an excuse. I don't want to go back to.
I know, but I mean, say it's not an excuse though. Like that's not truthful either. That's like if a team didn't have LeBron or a team has Tom Brady and Tom Brady got hurt and can't start, and so they're like, Bill Belichick's like, we're gonna probably do more running plays this game. You're like, but no, we still have all these great receivers. Well, you don't have Tom Brady.
I disagree, but I don't want to open up a rehash the conversation.
Everyone here is like, I love that American football analogy. I know exactly what you mean. Here's a comment, though, I want to talk about. Alfonso, I know is what you mean. Alfonso looks like he can run or just fresh legs. Yeah, let me tell you, Leo Alfonso has been great. And so far, limited minutes, but plays with a lot of confidence, a lot of silk, a lot of smarts, and I think he'll probably start on Saturday. And so I'm excited to see how he plays and how it goes.
Yep. I wanted to talk a little bit about the comments made by the Mexican coach.
Monterrey coach.
From Monterrey.
I see also a couple comments that maybe Farias will come back before. Maybe he'll come back for the playoffs. I mean, if he does, then that's fantastic. I'm just saying I wouldn't expect him to come back. Tearing his ACL is usually a season-long injury. I you know, if he can come back in October, amazing, but I doubt it.
Frey's like at 9 months or something like that, 9-10 months. Negri, same thing. I think Frey's been out 9, and I think Negri's been out 10 months. That's wild. That's strange. And actually, I think that – that's slower than normal. I think
that's another conversation we can have is the Inter Miami medical staff and athletic trainers. You know, I think we've all seen some instances where questionable recovery, questionable fitness levels and muscle injuries. But that's a can of worms. I don't know. I'm not a sports scientist. I'm not an athletic trainer. I can't really speak to it to a certain degree. I hope it gets, you know, it keeps improving is all I can say.
So what the coach, Tano Ortiz from Monterrey, said before the game, like a day or so before the game, he was being interviewed by outlet in Latin America. And he basically said everything that revolves around Messi can lead to sporting decisions and extracurricular decisions. What worries me the most are the extracurricular decisions. Soccer is a business, and the business side doesn't go in favor of Monterrey. And basically, he was alluding to the way that the refereeing would be for them in the game, saying ahead of time that he's worried that the whistle could go Inter Miami's way.
Well, he didn't have to worry about that. It certainly didn't last night.
Yeah. Inter Miami's way to obviously promote Messi and make sure Messi continues on his way to the final. And that's something that Which is interesting because Messi, it just shows Messi and Tata Martino pay attention to what's out there on the outlets and that sort of thing. But they basically took offense to what the coach said. And then after the game, they went up to
questioning integrity, you know?
Yeah, he's basically questioning the integrity of the game and saying that they would have the upper hand. Inter Miami would have the upper hand. And Messi and Tata Martino took offense to that and ended up confronting him and confronting some of the players in the dressing rooms. And I thought that, I don't know, but to me, I thought that was low class. Like I hate when referee and when coaches do that. Like, that is so unprofessional. That's not something you do. And I can understand why Messi and Tata Martino took offense to that. But one of the things I thought was interesting too after that, I don't know if you saw it, Ashley, but apparently they're saying that Monterrey put out a formal complaint to CONCACAF.
Yeah.
To do something about that. So now there's worry. I don't want to add more cause for concern, but now there's worry that is Messi or is Tata or are they going to have any repercussions where they would be maybe suspended for the game in Monterrey?
I
think zero chance, but that's what's being spoken about now, that they actually made a formal complaint. Monterrey did.
Well, it's so messed up, the initial point of saying it. I mean, it's like Louis van Gaal in the World Cup. Like, you said it to Messi and it made him very mad, and it, you know, worked out in this case. Messi didn't play, but you know, not everything's about refereeing, because I don't think the results would have changed to last night, but I think that to some degree, like, I think that this referee, and I said this to you in the press box, he wasn't calling anything. He really wasn't calling anything for Inter Miami. He didn't call a lot for Monterrey either, but I think he went past the point of like letting them play, because I think there were a couple of things that got away and some moments where it was taking advantage of it and didn't get called. Like, I mean, the handball, the fact that it wasn't reviewed at all, I think is crazy, because it looked like a handball and we didn't even get to see a replay of it.
Yeah, I think the missed calls were even across the board, but they affected Inter Miami.
They were more intense ones for us. Like they made more of a difference in the outcome of the game. The referee, he was a little too soft whistled, I think. You know, when I normally, where we like to say, like, let the boys play, let everyone play. But it also, it's to a point where, like, you know, if the tactical advantages are being met and things are happening to negatively affect the game, it's like, well, you have to make calls. You have to get whistles. And look, there was even for the first goal for Monterrey, there was something to be said about maybe, I mean, it went to VAR, they deemed it not, but
that's an offside. I don't know how everybody else feels, but that's an offside. Big time to me. The player clearly interferes. He's offside. And he's in front of Callender. He's literally blocking.
But maybe Callender's because view. It touched Busquets, they say no. I don't disagree. But that's what I'm. You know, that's so. In the end, the comments by the Monterrey coach worked, and that's what makes me upset, because it's when those kinds of tactics and feelings and thoughts and trying to like get into people's heads and say things that really have nothing to do with on the field performance, when they work, is when it sucks. And again, to repeat myself, I don't think yesterday's game would have changed. Like, the outcome feels like it was fated. Like, that's kind of like a nil, like where there was a draw or a one goal deficit, I think that could have probably happened regardless. But it still sucks when that kind of, you know, feelings happen.
Yeah. I wish I could read your name.
I know. Thank you, though.
Appreciate you being in here.
Are you guys reading Twitter comments? Yeah, we're reading all comments.
Yeah. Make sure you comment if you're on Twitter, if you're on YouTube. We're getting all your comments. So if we miss any, sorry, we're trying to go through all of them.
We're getting a lot, which is good. We're glad everyone is. I mean, obviously, this was quite a result and lots of storylines and headlines. Yeah, we'll see. But, you know, when everything is said and done, and like we said, a lot of things went against us yesterday, whether it was our personnel, whether it was refereeing decisions, whether it was injuries, whether it was missed chances, all of those things that went against us, right?
Yeah.
In the end, we're only one goal down.
Yeah.
And in the end, we are going to be going from no Messi to yes, Messi, and which I think. I mean, we have to assume. We're going to assume it is. If not, then yeah. The game's a wash. We lose. We're out of CONCACAF, okay? We're going to say that. If Messi doesn't play, there's like a 2% chance we win. But if we can assume he is going to play, well, now that makes next week more interesting, a lot more interesting. And all we can do is like the Dallas game last year. All you can do is believe and believe that this team can do something, that there's still a chance, that Messi is who's, you know, they've taken their time with his injury. They're managing him. Maybe he comes back stronger and in feeling better than he's felt in the last year, because, you know, it's bothered him a lot over the last year. So maybe he comes back even stronger and better. Maybe we have players we have more players coming back from injury. All we can hope for is a chance and an opportunity. And that's what we're going to get next Wednesday.
Yeah.
I think Saturday will be interesting to see if we get a couple of, maybe we see some minutes from maybe Messi, but from Kremaski, from Negri, maybe we see some minutes from there. Alfonso is going to get more chances to play. Maybe Campana gets some minutes. There's still, you know, there's lots to go.
So we got the name. It's Mustafa. So thank you, Mustafa.
Thank you.
That's a Black story interpreting for us. It's an Arabic name, so thank you, Mustafa.
With this. Messi is worth two goals at least. It's math. It's mathematical. Yeah. Agreed.
This is Inter Miami fouled a lot. They should have focused on playing instead of trying to do a trick.
It's
so frustrating. So the reason why they fouled a lot, if you thought they did, I don't think they fouled a lot, but there were definitely some tactical fouls. And again, it's just because of the way that they were playing. They were just giving a lot of possession and they were getting attacked a lot. And some of those fouls they needed to do. And it just, that's how it happens. Erwin says, at least it wasn't a goleada. That's important. Yeah, at least we didn't have, if it was a goleada, it'd be a big, a different story going into Monterrey. We're down 2-1. We've got a couple of very realistic score lines that can happen for us to move on or at least tie to go into extra time. So that's important. They kept the game close, not the result you wanted. You want to come out with a win, but
like we said, there was a lot of factors that went against us and a lot of things that you hope maybe turn tides. Like, you know, football is about balance and you think like, you know, it's cyclical, everything that happens. And so you hope maybe the luck is on our side. Maybe the personnel is on our side and we have a chance to do something impressive. So we'll see. And also CONCACAF Champions Cup, we all agreed, was the most important tournament of the year for us. But we didn't expect Messi to get hurt this early. We didn't expect a couple of things to happen. I'll be very disappointed if we don't advance. But we still have the MLS. We still have Leagues Cup. The season still has 6 months left to it. We'll be disappointed, rightfully so.
I don't even want to think about that right now.
But I'm just saying, you know, the season doesn't end next Wednesday, no matter how you look at it. The season doesn't end. And thank God, because this is we would have no more episodes to film. So thankfully, the season does not end.
We gotta be positive.
Oh, I'm so shut up. You should have seen him last night. You want to talk about positivity? He was the most negative person within 100 feet of the stadium.
I wasn't negative. I was in my feelings because
you were in your feelings.
I was in my feelings, but I was in my feelings because of the fact that Messi was. I really thought Messi was gonna play. I really did, and there were a lot of rumblings.
Me too.
And different reports that Messi was, and when it didn't, it hit me like a bag of bricks across the face.
I couldn't believe it either. I know.
And it was just, and you know why it was, I was also in my feelings because, okay, I'm okay. Well, I don't know if I'm okay, but it hurts less when Messi's missing MLS games. Like, it's okay. Well, it's the MLS. But when you have things that are a bigger priority, and Champions Cup right now is the biggest priority, right? So when you don't have, like, you brought in Messi to win big things, and that's what Messi has done. Messi came. Yeah, we didn't win, MLS Cup, but he brought us Leagues Cup. Yeah. That was huge.
And I believe in Messi. Look, Wednesday ain't over yet. It ain't over yet. There's no, there's someone I believe in, and it's Lionel Messi. I'll tell you that.
The point is that he's missing the most important game in the history of Inter Miami, and that really just had me in my feelings. You guys should have seen me yesterday, but I slept, and I feel better today. Being here in this therapy session with you guys, it helps.
Yeah,
I'm doing better.
Agreed, and I think that's a good place to leave, because this has been incredibly therapeutic and insightful, and you guys have put such amazing comments and a great discussion. And look, who know? We don't know what's going to happen. All we know is, yeah, there were some things that went wrong yesterday. There were factors that worked against us, but there's always Wednesday. There's this Saturday where we're going to see some players back from injury, hopefully. Then we have Wednesday, and we'll hopefully have a healthy Lionel Messi, hopefully. And we'll have more than a healthy Lionel Messi. We'll have a mad Lionel Messi. And I think we've only seen him mad a handful of times.
Oh,
and
I'm glad you brought that up.
Mad Lionel Messi is, I would not bet against him. I'll tell you that much. Even if it was 5-0, would not bet against it.
Yeah, I love that you said that. So there was this interview for Román Riquelme, famous mm-hmm. from Boca, Argentina, one of the best players. Okay. And they interviewed him, I think, after the game against who was it? The Netherlands for the World Cup.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. The Louis van Gaal comments.
Yeah. And
that worked out for him.
Exactly. And they were saying, basically, Riquelme was saying that if you're in front of Messi, hug him, give him a kiss.
Yeah.
Don't get him pissed.
Exactly.
Because Messi is not like other players where if you get them pissed, they'll lose their cool, or they'll come in aggressive and kick you and maybe get a yellow, get a red card.
Yeah.
When Messi gets mad, it's different than other players. Messi gets mad and he responds with soccer. He responds with the way
greatness.
He and he'll come in with greatness and he'll put the team on his back and finish games for you. And I think that we have an angry Messi right now. I think
going into
Monterrey, especially after what he had, this altercation, verbal altercation that he had with players in the dressing room from Monterrey, dealing with that comment from Tan Ortiz, the coach from Monterrey, I think he's pissed. And I think if he plays, we have a pissed Messi going into Monterrey, into Estadio BBVA. And I think we're going to see fireworks. And I think we're going to see a result that's going to shock CONCACAF. I really do. If Messi plays. So that's
We'll be here watching. And we will be definitely next week doing a post-game live stream, because we obviously will not be there at the game. Yeah, I mean, look, because we're part of media, when we get to leave, we saw Messi leave. He was not happy. I can tell you that much. We were very close to him, not happy. And we shall see. But for this episode of Messi & Co., thank you all for watching and giving your comments and your feedback. I'm Ashley. That is Gian. We will be back for a preview for Colorado soon. And then the next week is going to be really fun and really exciting. So make sure you're following us on Twitter at Messi & Co., on TikTok, Messi & Co. 5 Reasons Sports, YouTube, 5 Reasons Sports, where most of you are watching this now. We will constantly be putting out new content, breaking news as we get it, and our reactions to all the great things that will be happening. So thank you again, and we will see you next time.
Yep, see you guys next time. Bye, guys.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.